Turn in your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, and there are 22 chapters in this book. And for me, Revelation chapter 19 has stood as a huge transition point. For indeed, it is probably what is the most clear explanation for us of Christ's coming to this earth. And it is a very key fundamental doctrine of the Christian faith that Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one who came as a baby, the one who was crucified upon the cross, was buried in a tomb, and then rose again and showed himself to many people as alive. It is a fundamental doctrine that that same Jesus is coming again. That is key for your belief as a Christian, that Jesus Christ is coming again, and in his coming, he will accomplish victory over sin, judgment upon the sinners who have rejected him, and bestowment of reward upon his people who have believed in him. He will establish a kingdom, as has been promised throughout the Bible, a kingdom where we will get the opportunity to be with him. I trust you are looking forward to the coming again of Jesus. In Revelation chapter 19, we looked at just the first two verses last time as a way of introducing our understanding of chapter 18, and we looked at things we could learn about God in chapter 18. And today we want to go the different direction in that we're going to look at the first couple of verses of chapter 19 and seek to understand people's view of God after they've understood who he is and what he has done. We're reading in chapter 19, verse 1. The word of God says, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen! Hallelujah! And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and you that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. We'll stop there for our time this morning. What we're seeing here in this vision is John is beholding a scene in heaven. Babylon has been judged, and we can make note of that in chapter 18. We can make note that the people in heaven recognize and see the smoke of her burning that rises up forever and ever. But as we look at this, we see that there's a great voice of much people in heaven. And this is interesting because the text tells us there's a great multitude of people in heaven. And you may look at me and you might say, well, Pastor, that's right. Well, this is key for us in that there are people in heaven. You might like, Pastor, come on. No, people in heaven. This is something to be thrilled about. We angels. Well, you could ask a child, where do you find where are angels? Angels are, they'd be in heaven, right? Where's God? He's in heaven. Where's Jesus? He's in heaven. But here in this vision, John sees much people in heaven. Not only does he see them, he hears them first. A great voice of much people in heaven. When I think of that and how to best describe that, some of you have been to big stadiums, right? Been for sports events. And I can remember that one time I had the opportunity to work for ESPN on the field of Penn State's football field. I had a buddy who is in that industry, and he said, hey, you want to come pull cords for me? And I like Penn State. Okay, that's me. I'm a Penn State football fan. So I can remember getting to the stadium. That stadium can seat like 110,000 people. It was a game against Notre Dame, so it was a big, big game. And so we go in onto the field, and I can remember feeling like a midget. Okay, I am, but you know, I felt really small, and these guys looked so big. And it was in the days of Michael Robinson, if you remember, he was one of their good players, good quarterback, and you remember being close to him, and he was just so tall, so big. But you know what was so incredible and so exhausting was the noise. It was the sound of 110,000 people. And it was in this, like a bowl shape, and you just couldn't even think. It was so, so loud. It's deafening. And you could hear it for miles around, the sound of many people. Now, a crowd of people is made up of individual voices. Individual voices that come from individual people, from hearts, from minds that have an understanding. For the football game, it was they were rooting for their team. And in their minds, they had made a decision who they were going to cheer for. And so that's what would come out of their mouth. And so this heavenly scene, where John hears a great voice of many people in heaven. A great voice. I would describe this of what John hears as a loud sound that reverberates across the universe. I was reminded of maybe just a small little biblical example of this in the book of Nehemiah. And go to Nehemiah. That's in the Old Testament. And Nehemiah chapter 12. In Nehemiah chapter 12, Nehemiah is about building walls. He came, brought people to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. They experienced hardships. They experienced enemies. They experienced deceptions. But God blessed and helped them to accomplish the task. And so they had this incredible praise service. And in chapter 12, look at verse 43, it says, "Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off." They had assemblies of people on different walls. And they praised the Lord to the point that the word of God says it could be heard afar off. And so in Revelation, we are hearing the voices of praise. Now, yes, I know that this is in a vision of times to come. But God in His infinite wisdom wants us as the church to know and to realize that there will come a day when our voices, when your voice and my voice as believers in Jesus Christ will go together in one big loud voice that proclaims God's praises across the universe. Are you excited to be a part of that? Are you excited to make a big noise for God? You know, we have opportunity to do it now. To sing His praises. This is one reason why we have music in our services. You ever thought about that? Why would you? Do we have to have music in our services? No, I don't think we have to. Traditionally, we've done it here in America. But it is interesting how even cultures around the world, music just becomes a part of their worship. Why? Well, some reason in music, we're comfortable getting loud, right? We're comfortable opening up our voices. You know, we have times of sharing, and you know, sometimes it can get kind of quiet and you can be a little reluctant to share. But when we're singing, you're all singing. Why? Because you're all doing it together, right? And because you hear the voice of the one next to you and you share the heart, you're praising the Lord together. So next time you sing, even at the close of our service, when we sing together, realize we're just preparing for times when the great voice of many people is going to be heard across the universe. The praise of God's people. You know, I love how God gives us these insights. God wants us to know that we will be praising Him. He wants us to know that He is worthy of our praise. This brings the question, begs the question then, do I praise the Lord? Is His praise readily upon your lips? And if not, if this is a struggle for you, then this is what you need to do. You need to get to know Him. Because guaranteed, once you get to know Him, you will begin to praise Him. Because praise does not operate in a void or in this vacuum, but there is praise because of who He is. Because there is a knowledge of Him. And so as our knowledge grows, we grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so our praise gets louder. As you get excited about those things that you are learning about Him. You see, in this passage, the hallelujahs are not just happening by themselves, but there's associations here between the hallelujahs and what or who God is. Did you catch that? Before we look at that, though, hallelujah. That's a neat word. We don't use it that often. But it's a great Christian word. It's actually Hebrew. It's made up of two words. And you have praise Jehovah. Praise Jehovah. And you could spell it with an H or an A. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. And so here in this passage, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, again, John writes this Hebrew word, and it's placed in this text, hallelujah. Does that mean we're going to be speaking Hebrew in heaven? That doesn't matter. I don't know, maybe. But nevertheless, it's hallelujah. I should try that in Lesotho. Maybe it's universal. I know that amen is fairly universal. So hallelujah, that comes four times in the scriptures only here. Only here in this passage. All right, so again, now the hallelujahs, praise the Lord's, are associated with what? First we see hallelujah is associated with salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, for He has judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah. So we've got a sandwich here. Sandwich. The bread is hallelujah, and in the midst is our great God. The context helps us understand how great He is because it brings out the evil. It shows the evil that was in the world, that is going to be in the world, and how God deals with this evil. So we're going to begin with the center of the sandwich. And we're going to talk look at verse 2 because He says, for true and righteous are His judgments. So His judgments are focused upon here, and because of His true and righteous judgments, there is great reason to say, praise the Lord. How do we know His judgments are true and righteous? Well, He judged the great whore. That was Babylon. That was this system that had control over the world, its kings, its merchants. It was very evil. It corrupted the earth with her fornication. It avenged the blood. It killed God's servants. And so the call is to rejoice, to praise the Lord. The first word in verse 19 of after hallelujah, hallelujah, salvation. Salvation simply means deliverance, a rescuing. Why are these people, this great multitude in heaven, saying, praise the Lord, salvation? Why is that on their lips? It's because these are people who were born on this earth as sinners, who lived in life and apart from God, who lived a life that was all about sin and all about self. But there came a point in their life when God saved them. There came a point in your life, Christian, when God saved you. When God delivered you from that penalty of sin forever and gave you the gift of eternal life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory unto the Lord our God. Glory. Well, glory is this idea of establishing an opinion and reputation about God. In other words, glory belongs to Him and Him alone. What is so exciting about that for people? Why? Say hallelujah about the glory that be unto God. Well, we're going to glorify something with our life. Something, someone. It's just the way we are. Our lives and the way we live them point to something or to someone. A lot of times, it's like this. Glory. This is the way the world operates in so many instances. People that do not know God, glory. Glory unto whom? Glory unto them, because that's who they live for. That's their option. Now, yes, I know that there's going to come a time when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's going to come a time when that is going to happen. And you know what's going to happen? Because they come to full realization of who God is. But for so many, for them who do not know God, it is too late at that point. But for you here today, you have come to know who God is, and so the glory goes to Him. His reputation, your voice proclaims a reputation about your God. Your life proclaims and helps to establish an opinion in the minds and hearts of others that see you about your God. And so here, this great multitude in heaven of people, this great voice of much people in heaven, they are hallelujah, salvation and glory unto the Lord our God. Because they have been saved, their life has been changed, their direction, their fingers are no longer pointing to themselves, but they're pointing to the Lord. And so glory goes to Him. Remember, we talked about the judgment there in verse 2. The salvation part. These people are rejoicing and praising the Lord that they are not facing that judgment. Wow. These people are proclaiming glory unto the Lord because in these judgments, His might and His power is proclaimed. And people are recognizing and pointing and saying, yes, He is mighty. Salvation and glory and what else? Honor. Oof, honor. Have you ever... it seems as if honor is a lost virtue in our world today, at least in America. You see that? I mean, do you remember the days when an older person came into the room? If you were younger, you'd stood up, right? You would stood up, you'd offer them your chair, Remember the days when an older person would be speaking and sharing and people would be quiet and listen. Because there was honor, there was a respect and a reverence for them. And I'm just talking about older people, and we had that respect and reverence for them because of life experience. But see, honor, there's a reason that we have this respect and honor. Sometimes it's a position. All rise, right? You enter into a courtroom, and the judge enters in. There is honor as you rise for that judge. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother, right? And so the Bible places upon children the necessity to provide reverence and honor for your parents. Just family, children, listen to this. This helps your family to operate well. Children, if you just get this idea of honoring your parents, God says that. You think God knows what he's doing. And realize something too. When the Bible says honor your father and your mother, the parents are hearing that too. And that means parents, let's be honorable. Let's be honorable. But children, you're to honor your father and your mother. So honor. Here's this hallelujah, salvation, glory, and honor unto the Lord our God. So we want God to be known as the greatest. He has saved us. And we honor him. We respect and have a reverential fear of him. If for no other reason, these folks have observed from heaven incredible judgments upon the earth, look at what God can do. Yes, look at what God can do. But dear church, dear believer, look at what God has done in your life and in my life. Look at the ways of that he has shown his care and his power. Think about how he has changed your life. Perhaps he's changed your family's life. And you will be brought to honor him. Salvation and glory and honor, and then finally power. This group of people, this crowd of people in heaven, they're not hungry for power. They want God to remain as the all-powerful God. They willingly submit under his authority, fully believing that he has every right and he always is right in the exertion of his power. You see, God is so powerful that not even death can stop him. We have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ because he arose from the grave. Incredible power. There's not a person on this earth that can stop death. Revelation is full of death. Full of it. But here we see many people singing God's praises. How did they escape? God's power. God's power brought them to safety. Through his power over sin, his power over death, God is powerful. And when we talked about that last week, realizing that God is strong. And so this great voice, this mighty voice of people in heaven, they are praising God, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Our God. Is He your God today? Are you able to say that? He is the Lord, my God? Don't miss the personal aspect of this praise. This great voice of people. They're all individuals whose lives have been affected, whose lives have been changed. And they proclaim, He's the Lord, my God. He's the Lord, my God. And so after they proclaim what they've observed about His true and righteous judgments, how He has judged the great whore in verse 2 that had corrupted the earth, and how God avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. We talked about that last week. Verse 3, they said it again, Hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. Whose smoke? The smoke of Babylon burning. That fits the context. And so you have what you hear, and you have what you smell, what you see. And the contrasts are incredible, aren't they? You're hearing hallelujahs, but you're smelling and you're seeing this is smoke coming up. Reminding them of God's judgment. Reminding them of God's salvation, of God's glory, of God's honor, of God's power. You see, the Bible helps us in perspective. It reorients us. Because I'm going to tell you, when we look at judgments, and perhaps you were like this as we marched through the central portion of Revelation, you get tired of all of these judgments, and you can become overwhelmed and tired of how God keeps beating up on people. But the Bible reorients us, doesn't it? The Bible puts our attentions where it needs to be. Yes, there's smoke coming up, but the people in heaven are proclaiming hallelujahs. Why? Because they know God as Savior, as the glorious one, worthy of all honor, and the one who has all power. Well, the 24 elders and the 4 beasts, you remember them? All the way back in chapter 4, 5, the throne room of heaven. These are the ones that are sitting there close to God's throne. And what do? They join in. In verse 4, the 24 elders, the 4 beasts, they fell down. They worship God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. What's amen? Let it be true. Let it be true. Hallelujah. You see, they praise the Lord because they have seen what God has done. Praise is something common We like praise. We praise our children. We use the word in church. Let us never grow weary and never forget to praise the Lord. And you, what will help you with that is getting to know Him more. These dear folks in heaven at this point, they are with God. They are with Him. They are seeing Him face to face. And they're making big noise about Him. Yes, we might not see Him face to face today. But we have His Word, where we get to know Him. This was God's plan. And He has revealed Himself through His Word. And as you spend time in His Word, you will walk away singing His praises. His praises reverberating across your world. As we close out our time, I think it's just fitting that we go to the book of Psalms. I invite you to go to Psalm 111. Why do I go to the book of Psalms? Because the psalmist knew how to what? Praise God. He knew how to praise the Lord. He knew how to get excited. And I felt that Psalm 111 would help us too as we join with the psalmist in praising our Lord. Psalm 111, I'm going to ask that we read it together aloud. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given meat unto them that fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. He hath shown His people the power of His works, that He may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of His hands are verity and judgment. All His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. That song is essentially the outline of today's message. Did you catch all those words that you find in both passages? That's exciting to me. Do you have a heart to praise the Lord today? A heart to lift Him up, to exalt Him? That's the kind of people we ought to be, because it's the kind of people we're going to be. Let's start now. Let's start now. Do it together as a family. Do it together as a church. Make a big noise about God. His praise endureth forever. Oh Lord, I thank You for this powerful picture. It's a true. As John sees this, so we hear it. So, Lord, we look forward to that day. Well, God, you know how to minister best your word upon the hearts of your people. Help us as we wrestle with what we've heard today, with the text, with your precious word. And may it be fruitful in our lives and in the lives of those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.